From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with this local and state news update. Alaska's COVID-19 case counts have spiked in recent weeks, according to data reported by the state. But the true number of positive tests is significantly higher than the figures reported by Alaska's coronavirus dashboard, state officials say. That's because the state health department can't keep up with entering hundreds of new cases into its system each day, says epidemiologist Louisa Castrodale.
In the early days when we had case counts under 10 or under two digits, it was super easy to have every case that was reported to you that day posted on the dashboard, validated that day. And then, you know, as the pandemic has increased and as the case counts have increased, we have growing but limited number of staff to evaluate all those reports.
As a rough estimate, Castrodale says that Alaska's case numbers are between 25 and 50% higher than what the state is reporting. It's hard to tell exactly, she says, because the reason for the delay is to allow state workers to check and make sure each positive test is actually a new case, not one that's already been reported. That means cross-referencing things like birthdays or nicknames, and it could result in some of the reports being screened out. While the state has been trying to make some of its processes more efficient and automatic, Castrodale says it's clear the backlog isn't getting any smaller right now. And she says that even if the state is missing some cases, the dashboard is still showing a clear and concerning spike.
The take-home message is, like, regardless of the numbers are going up. They're not plateauing. And so that hopefully translates into people thinking, all right, well, I need to take this seriously and I need to do what I can do to reduce those numbers.
Tiffany Zolkowski is a Bethel Democratic legislator who chairs the Health Committee in the State House. She says she thinks the gaps in case counts show how Alaska Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration is not using data to guide its response to the COVID-19 pandemic. She says that while lawmakers have asked for it, the administration has refused to release specific numbers or measurements of the virus's spread that would cause the state to take specific actions in response.
There's been no communication. There's been no transparency. And we wanted to know, what's your mitigation strategy? At what point do you implement more stringent protective measures? And the response was, well, we have a mitigation strategy, but the public and the legislature has yet to see what that is.
Even as case counts have risen sharply in recent weeks, the governor has declined to impose specific restrictions or mandates like mask wearing or limiting the number of people in indoor spaces. Instead, he says local leaders can adopt those measures, and he's also publicly implored Alaskans to wear masks and keep their distance. But Zolkowski says she thinks it's clear that those requests have not been effective in keeping the virus under control. Juneau's Eagle Crest ski area closed early last spring when coronavirus arrived in the U.S. The city-owned ski area has an ambitious reopening plan for this season. Staff hope it will be enough to provide uninterrupted outdoor recreation this winter and keep people healthy. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
Snow has been steadily piling up on the mountaintops. And while Eagle Crest opening day isn't for another month, General Manager Dave Scanlon is feeling optimistic.
Some really good, strong early season's pass sales and sales of lesson programs. It definitely seems like people are excited to be outside and getting exercise and sharing some well-spaced outdoor social time with their friend groups.
Last year was a record-setting snow season, but like everything else, things ground to a halt on the mountain in mid-March. Scanlon says Eagle Crest and other Northern Hemisphere ski areas spent the off-season watching what went on in places like New Zealand, Australia, and South America.
A lot of the skiers down there were anticipating much lower demand for services, and it was actually the opposite. There was a higher demand because, again, people wanted to get outside and do something fun for their families.
Eagle Crest's plan for this winter is tied to the city and borough of Juneau's COVID-19 strategy. For several weeks, Juneau has remained at its highest risk level, with significant community spread of COVID-19. If that keeps up until the start of the ski season, Eagle Crest will open in the most restrictive phase of its plan. That means masks for anyone not actively skiing or snowboarding. Lodge access would be restricted, so all rentals, lesson reservations, and food and drink orders would happen outside through service windows.
You know, obviously we were all hoping that we would be seeing our infection rates going the other direction, but it seems like we're kind of holding at this current level with, you know, seeing definitely some community spread and significant numbers of COVID.
Skiers and snowboarders are encouraged to treat their cars like the lodge. Get dressed there, eat there, and if you must, socialize there. Staff will enforce social distancing between groups and mask wearing. People who don't mask up properly risk penalties, starting with a suspension of 2 weeks and working up to full season. To help with all the extra enforcement and mitigation this winter, Eaglecrest has a pair of budget requests headed for public hearing before the Juneau Assembly later this month. One asks for $73,000 in Federal CARES Act funding for tents, outdoor heaters, and propane. The other requests $160,000 in city funding to hire more staff for ski patrol and operating the chairlifts. Scanlon says that would allow people to spread out more on the mountain and create less congestion in lift lines. At a meeting in September, City Manager Rory Watt pointed out that unlike pools or skating rinks, Eaglecrest can't exactly limit how many people walk through the door. And even if the lifts move to a reservation system, people will still hike up the mountain.
Eaglecrest is a different, you know, arena as it's outdoors. And on a big snow day, it's going to be very difficult for Mr. Scanlon and his staff to limit the number of people at the ski area.
Skiing is bound to be popular this year, especially if the snow cooperates. The new rules will be an adjustment for many people, especially when it comes to no indoor access.
There are days in skiing where the weather is just brutal.
Nona Diamond is the vice president of the Juneau Ski Club. She also coaches ski racing for younger children and has a son in the youth program.
Through my coaching experience, we've had days where it's so wet that you have to go into the lodge and wring out gloves and put on a heater and dry them. And there's been days where it's so cold that you worry about the kids getting frostbite. And really the only way to do anything to mitigate that is to keep going in and get warm.
Diamond says Eaglecrest has been working with the club and will provide them with heated tents for warming up and getting out of the slush. She's hopeful that if everyone follows the rules, this season can be a success.
I think skiing lends itself really nicely to socially distanced activities, yet still having a little bit of interaction with another human being, which we're all sort of missing.
Eaglecrest's opening day is December 5th. If the snow is good, it could open earlier. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Warming rivers play an increasingly important role in melting sea ice and rising air temperatures in the Arctic. That's according to a new study published last week in the journal Science Advances. Using complex modeling techniques, a team of international researchers found that heat from rivers melted as much as 10% of Arctic sea ice between 1980 and 2015. University of Alaska Fairbanks researcher Igor Polakov is one of the study's authors.
Because of increase of surface air temperature over continents, the riverine water becomes warmer, and this warmth is carried by river water into the Arctic.
The warmer river water then flows beneath sea ice, causing it to melt. That triggers a cycle where newly open ocean absorbs heat from the atmosphere, warms the ocean temperature even more, and melts sea ice even further.
And what we showed is that this positive feedback mechanism almost doubles the effect of original heat carrying by rivers. So it's a multiplication of causes and effects in the system.
The Arctic is warming at almost twice the rate of the rest of the world, and the impact of climate change there is well documented. But the impact of river heat on sea ice loss and oceans and atmospheric temperatures is not. Polakov says their research identified a previously overlooked piece.
Our study is just one element of a big puzzle of Arctic or global climate change, but it's an important element. It creates a more complete, more interesting picture of multidisciplinary changes in the Arctic in general.
The effect is particularly pronounced in places with larger rivers like Siberia and Canada's Mackenzie River Delta, but smaller rivers in Alaska play their role too. Alaska's vote count will pick up again tonight with more than 156 ballots left to count. The remaining ballots include all the absentee ballots accepted so far, including those that were sent by mail or through the internet. Several Alaska races remain unresolved, including the statewide races for U.S. President, U.S. Senator, and U.S. Representative, as well as both mallet measures. Updates on the ballot counts will be released at 5 p.m. tonight and every day this week until the tallying is done. You can tune in to Alaska News Nightly at 6 p.m. to hear KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman talking about today's update. We'll also have those updates at ktoo.org.